Hey doll. In the last two episodes, we covered the backgrounds and meeting of Ian and Myra Hindley. And in the last episode, we covered the brutal child murders that took place in Manchester at their hands. Last week, we ended on their arrest. So let's just get into it. Episode 3, part 3. Yeah. When Ian Brady was interviewed by detectives, he told them in the interrogation that he had picked up Edward Evans for a sexual encounter. Perhaps he was trying to put them off doing any more search, you know, like at that time the gay community were like, you know, the less dead. Police didn't search, didn't investigate crimes like that. So yeah, he tried to throw them off by saying it was a gay sexual encounter and that he and Edward got into like a verbal argument that escalated into a physical fight. Ian insisted that the physical fight got out of hand and he ended up hitting Edward with the axe. Like, not many physical fights end like that. It's still murder. Like, what kind of argument is that? But Ian was not going down alone, and he wasn't bringing down Myra. He was bringing down yesterday's hero, David Smith. Ian insisted that, yeah, he hit Edward with an axe, but it was David Smith who strangled him with the electrical cable. Ian protected Myra, saying Myra only did what she was told to do. So while Ian and Myra are in jail and being questioned, police investigate the house and garden. They find much evidence. Receipts for hired cars, burnt plans for a bank heist, a luggage claim ticket tucked away in Myra's prayer book, and a school exercise book. Scrawled across it was the name John Kilbride, the 12-year-old boy the police had been searching for. The police concluded Ian and Myra are involved in the missing of John Kilbride and most likely the other missing children in Manchester. So they didn't really have any leads, so they went back to David for help. David told police that Ian had once asked David to return his dodgy books to him. And by dodgy books, I think he's talking about like the Nazi stuff. According to David, Ian packed these books into like suitcases. The suitcases already had stuff in it. David had no idea what the other stuff was. And David said he didn't know where the suitcases was. But Ian would often talk about train stations. Like, he always seemed to be at train stations. Of course, they put two and two together. The claim ticket. A search of Left Luggage Railways offices turned up the suitcases at Manchester Central Railway Station. Inside one of the suitcases was an assortment of costumes, notes, photographs, and negatives. 9 of the pornographic photos taken was of missing child Leslie Ann Downey, naked and with a scarf tied across her mouth. There was also a 16-minute audio tape recording of a girl who identified herself as Leslie Ann Weston. In the recording, the girl was screaming, crying, and pleading to be allowed to return home to her mother. Leslie Ann's mother was able to confirm that the recording was the voice of her missing daughter. Can you imagine having to listen to that recording? Obviously, they didn't play the whole thing. They probably gave her the most digestible bit to listen to. Like, oh God, it'll be so awful to hear. That's like the last words that you hear from your child is from a tape of her capture. Of course, back then, like, I don't think camcorders, home camcorders and stuff were as popular. So that would have been the last capturing of her voice. Police were right. They're involved in more murders. So they upped the ante and started making inquiries with friends and family and those who knew him. Police spoke to a 12-year-old girl neighbour who on several occasions had been taken to Saddleworth Moor by Ian and Myra. Although nothing ever happened, probably because she was their next door neighbour. So police started to search the area. Police immediately got up to Saddleworth Moor. 9 days after the murder of Edward Evans and a week on from the arrests of Ian Brady and Myra Hindley, Anne Downey watched on as a search party hunted for her daughter on Saddleworth Moor. On the 16th of October, police found a little arm bone protruding from the peat bog. It was initially assumed to be John Kilbride's. However, the next day, it was identified as that of Leslie Anne Downey. Here, you can see the police searching the immediate area for any further evidence. The little girl's body was still visually identifiable, and the poor mother again had to positively identify her child. Although she didn't have to look at the body, she was identified through the clothing she was wearing. On the 25th of October 1965, a large crowd gathered outside Trinity Methodist Church for the funeral of Leslie Anne Downey. Detectives knew there were more bodies on the moors, but they seemed to be getting nowhere. It was like a needle in a haystack. Here, the Saddleworth Moor is like the little bit in red. It is 29.4 square miles. It is absolutely massive. Back at the police station, David Smith told police that Ian would sometimes boast about photographic proof of his crimes, of his multiple murders. Like, I'm sure David probably thought Ian was like talking shit. But these photographs were in the suitcases. Here is a picture of Ian on the Ramshaw Rocks near Moorland where he buried his victims. At first glance, these photos seem like innocent landscapes and portraits, but they are where the bodies were buried. Police appealed for locals to help identify whereabouts these pictures were taken. On the 21st of October, Ian Brady and Myra Hindley appeared at Hyde Magistrates Court, separately charged with Edward Evan and Leslie Anne Downey's murders. In this picture, we can see Leslie Anne Downey's uncle is restrained by police as the killers leave court. You would have to hold me back too. Oh, the rage, the anger he must feel. Meanwhile, on the moors, on the same day, police found the badly decomposed body of John Kilbride. Here is a very sad picture of Sheila Kilbride. She and John's siblings pray for John on what would have been his 14th birthday. Police knew there were more children to be found on the moors. Unfortunately, the search had to be postponed due to winter setting in. In this picture, you can see the police party digging on the Saddleworth Moors in Yorkshire, looking for moorland graves. If you look to the right, you can see six rods to mark the spot where the body of 10-year-old Leslie Anne Downey was found in a shallow grave. Many of the photographs taken by Ian and Myra on the moor featured Puppet the dog. Going through the photos, sometimes Puppet was a puppy in the photos, who obviously grew into a full-grown dog. Here you can see one with Myra's sister, Maureen. To help date the photos and establish a timeline, which is like so smart, detectives had a veterinarian to examine the dog to determine its age. So smart. This examination required general anaesthetic so that they could remove a tooth from the dog. Unfortunately, Little Puppet did not wake up. And Myra was furious. Furious that the police had murdered her dog. Myra wrote a letter to her mother. She said, quote, "I feel as though my heart's been torn into pieces. I don't think anything could hurt me more than this has. The only consolation is that some moron might have got hold of Puppet and hurt him." Like, what a psycho. Can we have some perspective here, Myra? You have kidnapped and murdered multiple children. You have hurt and broken families, perhaps beyond repair. And you are making a stink because the police accidentally killed your dog. There are five children dead. You feel bad? You feel angry? How do you think those parents feel? She is a sociopath. The trial started on the 19th of April in 1966. Now, I was quite surprised to hear that the trial only lasted 2 weeks. You would think it would be longer because there's so many like photographs and evidence and stuff. No? Needless to say, the public and the media was obsessed with the Moors murderers. The dock was fitted with bulletproof glass to protect Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. It was feared that someone might try to kill them, so... as well as other security precautions that were taken during the highly publicised trial. Journalists came from all over the world to cover the story. The city's hotels were basically fully booked, and crowds, some who had travelled for hours, stood outside the Chester Courthouse every single day. The local church condemned the media and spectators, calling the whole thing an immoral spectacle. Ian and Myra were charged with the murder of Edward Evans, Leslie Ann Downey and John Kilbride. Myra's brother-in-law, David Smith, was chief prosecuting witness. There was like a little bit of like drama during the trial with David. He was offered a lot of money from the press for rights to his story. News of the World paid him £15 a week, which is £300 a week in today's money, right up until the trial. And they promised him a lump sum of £1,000 if Ian and Myra Hindley were convicted. Now, is that a breach of ethics? Because I feel like then you're sort of, you want them to get convicted. Like, what do you think of this? Like, selling your story? Like, obviously, David's life has been ruined by what he has just witnessed. He's going to need money to pay for therapy. He'll probably have to move. He might not be able to work. He deserves some form of compensation. But in a way, he is profiting off the horror and the victims and the families and his own family's victimization and pain. The lawyers at the trial, they also had worries about, you know, this incentive, this like monetary incentivization. But whenever they went over David's new statement compared to his initial statement, they found that it didn't change. So they just sort of were like, okay, let's just go on with it. Anyway, back to the trial. What do you think Ian and Myra pleaded? Pled? Said in court. Innocent, of course. In the trial, Ian and Myra tried to convince the jury that David Smith was also involved in all of the murders. And this was a lie that a lot of the public did believe for a long time. Ian Brady testified for over 8 hours. He was calm and arrogant, and this did not go over well with the jury. They did not like him. He claimed he had nothing to do with the other child murders. Ian admitted to hitting Edward Evans in the head with the axe, but claimed that it was David who strangled Edward. When it came to Myra, Myra refused to swear in the Bible. She stated openly that she didn't believe in God. But you were a good Catholic and you had a prayer book, like the ticket was found in your prayer book. Anyway, she testified for 6 hours, denying any knowledge that the Saddleworth Moor photographs of Saddleworth Moor found by police had been taken near the graves of the victims. Do you buy it? I don't buy that. Some of those photos are shit. Why would you want to take a photo in just like a random, ugly, like lumpy field? Muddy, lumpy field. Like, there's a reason you're stood there, Myra. Bitch. Myra distanced herself as much as possible from the murders as she could. She always seemed to be in the kitchen, in the car, or watching a sunset. The 16-minute tape recording of Leslie Ann Downey was played in court. Her cries reduced the judge, jury, spectators, and even hardened police officers to tears. On the recording, Ian and Myra can be clearly heard. Myra admitted that her attitude towards Leslie was brisk and cruel, but argued it was only out of fear someone may hear the screaming. Myra also claimed she wasn't present when Leslie was being undressed and was looking out the window when the pornographic photos were taken. And at the time of Leslie Ann's murder, she was running a bath. I mean, even if these things are true. Like, maybe you didn't strike the killing blow. Like, you are guilty of, like, negligence, like, looking the other way. Like, you're definitely an accomplice or assisting in abetting. Like, I just hate her. I hate her. On the 6th of May, the jury debated for a measly 2 hours. They found Ian guilty of 3 murders and Myra guilty of the murders of Leslie Ann Downey and Edward Evans. Ian and Myra just missed the death penalty. It was abolished the year before. Ugh, what a shame. Jokes. I don't support the death penalty. But if anybody deserved it, like, I could understand. The judge described Ian and Myra as 2 sadistic killers of the utmost depravity, wicked beyond belief. The judge said he seen no chance of reform for Ian. However, he believed there was a chance for Myra, once out of the grip of Ian's control. And the sentencing? They both got life imprisonment. Ian Brady was sentenced to 3 concurrent life sentences. Myra Henley was given 2, plus a concurrent 7-year term for harbouring Ian in the knowledge that he had murdered John Kilbride. Ian was taken to HM Prison Durham, and Myra was sent to HM Prison Holloway. Star-crossed lovers torn apart. More like asteroid-crossed lovers who, like, collided and created a tear in the space-time continuum, forever altering the lives of 5 innocent children and their families, as well as their own families. On that subject, yeah, Ian and Myra were only convicted of 3 murders. But I covered 5 murders last episode. It wasn't until 19 years later that the Saddleworth Moors would be revisited. Tune in next week where we will be jumping ahead in time, 19 years, where I will cover the return to the Moors, as well as looking at Ian and Myra's time in prison, which was quite interesting. Thank you to the patrons of this channel. You are helping me grow. That was weird. Grow. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon, there is now a £1 Patreon tier, and it gives you all the same access. Subscribe, like, share, comment. Slán!